Now, however, the mission was over. It was time for her to return. The Republic had fought too long without their champion. The Sith Empire's relentless advance had gone too far. She could no longer ignore the Republic's need.
Are you sure about this, Satil? You don't want to reconsider?
Satil looked down at the baby resting so peacefully in her arms and realized she would treasure this moment for the rest of her life. Whenever she was scared or alone or consumed by grief, she could draw on the memory of the first time she held her son. In the early stages of her pregnancy, she'd struggled against her maternal feelings as she'd felt the life growing inside her. She had tried to rationalize her protective instincts as nothing more than a biological imperative, an evolutionary mechanism to ensure the propagation of the species. But as the weeks and months passed, she realized her love for her unborn child was more than just biology and hormones. The emotional bond was real, and her desire to do anything, take any risk, or commit any act to protect her son was almost overwhelming. She would do everything in her power to protect him, even terrible, violent things. She would put his needs above all others, even if it meant an entire planet must suffer to spare him pain. Given her position and power, this was unacceptable.
You promised you would take him, Satil said softly, gazing down into the child's wide, wondering eyes.
I will, Nagani assured her, if that's still what you want.
What I want has nothing to do with it,
she muttered as she reluctantly handed the child back to her master.
For the sake of the galaxy, this is what must be.
As he took the child from her arms, the moment of greatest joy she would ever know ended. The child began to whimper. So Nagani stood up and began to cross quickly back and forth across the cave's uneven floor. The movement seemed to settle the child, much to Satil's relief.
And you're sure you don't want to tell the father?
Her master asked as he paced.
No. He's a good man, but there is darkness in him.
Nagani nodded, accepting her decision.
What's his name?
He asked. Satil was momentarily taken aback. He had never asked her the father's name before, and she had never offered it. Then she realized he was talking about the baby.
You are going to raise him, she said with a shake of her head. You should choose his name.
The Jedi Master stopped pacing and fixed her with a glare she remembered from her days as a Padawan.
You're his mother. His name should come from you.
Satil turned her head to the side and closed her eyes as exhaustion washed over her.
Theron,
she murmured.
His name is Theron.
Chapter 1. Theron Sham walked quickly through the packed streets of Nar Shaddaa's promenade. His unassuming features, pale skin, brown hair, brown eyes, average build, allowed him to blend easily into the crowd. The cybernetic implants visible around his left eye and right ear were his most distinguishing features, but he wasn't the only one sporting them on Nar Shaddaa, and they typically didn't draw unwanted attention. The Hutt-controlled moon was a landscape of unfettered urban sprawl, marked by towering sky towers crammed too close together and gaudy, glowing billboards that dominated the horizon as far as the eye could see in every direction. Sometimes called Little Coruscant, it was hard to accept Nar Shaddaa as a true homage to the Republic capital world. In Theron's eyes, it was more akin to a grotesque parody. Coruscant had been designed with an eye to aesthetics. There was a pleasing flow to the cityscape and a consistent and complementary style to the architecture. The city was carefully divided into various districts, making it easy to navigate. The pedestrian walks were crowded but clean. The endless stream of airspeeders overhead stayed within the designated traffic lanes. On Coruscant, there was an unmistakable sense of order and purpose. At times, Theron found it positively stifling. Here on the Smuggler's Moon, however, it was a glorious free